Only believe, for all things are possible. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 23. For verily I say unto you, and verily means truly, truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou moved, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe all those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. In Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou moved and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, for 2,000 years your church has read these words, and yet we've only seen a handful of men throughout the ages. We've seen Martin and Columba. We've seen some in Martin Luther and Wesley and different ones, Father, but we realize we've come down to the end when there's to be a manifestation of your sons. And believing, Father, that whatsoever you said, and we stand on that word which you gave us, for it is a promise from you, and you are not a man that you could lie, then it shall be done. Be with us, Father, as we examine these words this morning, and how they tie to John 14:12, how they tie with the third pole. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verily, verily, of a truth, I say unto thee, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou moved and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's your key right there. Shall not doubt in his heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith, not me, Jesus, not what I'm saying, what you saith, shall come to pass. Then he shall have whatsoever he saith. I love that. Because that's a promise from our Father. Paragraph 37 from what the Holy Ghost was given for, Brother Branham said, A brother said to me the other day, he said, Brother Branham, or so a time ago, months ago, he said, Brother Branham, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And I said, truly. And he said, what more can a man do than believe? And I said, that's all a man can do. That's all he can do today is to believe God. But God gave him a seal of circumcision that we went through last night as a sign that he had accepted his faith in him. And today, until God, you believe unto him, when you accepted him as your personal Savior, but when God gave you the seal of circumcision, seal of the Holy Ghost, he sealed you to your eternal destination. Now you Baptists take that, and if you take that, I'll go with you on eternal security. Yes, sir. Because grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. You are not sealed by believing unto, but you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Your believing does not seal you. The Holy Ghost seals you. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. That seals you. When you found favor with God, and he seals you by the Holy Ghost, that's so. For the Bible said, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, I believe it, Pat. I believe it because the pastor said so. Well, he's right. But that doesn't count for you. You might say, I believe because Brother Branham said so. That's right. He's right, but it doesn't count for you. Well, I believe so because Lee Vail said so. That may be good for him, but it doesn't count for you. I've been hammering for the last 7 years, 8 years. Actually, if you go back all my sermons, 30-some years. You've got to have a personal relationship and know for certain yourself that you have been sealed in by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter what Lee Vail had or what Brother Branham had or what the Apostle Paul had or, in fact, what Jesus, the Son of God, had. You've got to have the same thing. God does not have grandchildren. Too many people say, well, I follow Brother Vail or I follow Brother Coleman or I follow, Jim Jones, whoever. It doesn't matter who you follow. If you're not following the Holy Spirit, you're just following a man. I don't care if the man was vindicated, you're just following a man. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're following a man. Yes. Lot's wife followed just a man. And she was petrified salt. You've got to follow. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. He said, the only way that you can say that Jesus is the Christ is when the Holy Ghost comes into you and bears record and witnesses itself out. Out from where? Out from you. That he is the Son of God. That's the only way you know the resurrection. Is when the Holy Ghost bears record. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will testify of me and show you things to come. He will bring these things that I've said to your memories. You'll never find it in school, see? He will bring these things to your memories. Now, we want to read just a little further in Scripture now. St. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Brother Bram's still talking here, but he's quoting Jesus. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater, which the right translation is, there is more. If you want to look it up, greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. If he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit would come. Is that right? Another scripture said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but if I go away, I'll come and be with you, even in you. See, it's God with you, over you, first, with you in Christ, and in you in the Holy Ghost, God in you. Now the works that I do shall you do also, not another work. People want to attribute, well, Brother Bram did this and this and this. We'll never amount to a hill of beans. We'll never do those things. Yes, you will. And let me tell you this. I believe somewhere down the road, possibly when you've got your glorified body, when we travel like a thought, you'll also think and understand. You'll discern the very thoughts and intents of the heart. The Messiah sign will be in all Messiahs. Not this side of the resurrection. I don't believe that. I believe that was for an end time sign. But it will be in every individual because as he is, so are we. I know I'm going to get a lot of criticism on that. I don't care. I believe if we don't come into his full image, then what kind of image are we in? If we are not sons of God in the image of the firstborn son, completely in that image, because he said we grow up into Christ. He didn't say we grow up unto, as if Jesus is here and you're here. He's the head of your body. You are part of that body. Now, the works that I do shall you do also. Not another work, but God wants to bring the Holy Ghost in you to continue the same work that he was doing in Christ. The work wasn't so needy in the days of Luther. That was God's church. Well, you say, what do you mean, Brother Branham? The work wasn't so needy in the days of Luther. What do you mean? He is not saying that the work was needy, but there wasn't so much a need for the works in Luther's day. It was correction of doctrine that was needed in that day. The Catholic Church was teaching it that it was all about the works of man. And Luther came along and taught the just shall live by faith, which is a revelation. Then Brother Brown continues, it wasn't but a little bit more needier in the days of Wesley, because the world, the Bible said, would get weaker and wiser and more wicked all the time. Now, again, Brother Branham is saying that the works of Christ were not what was needed in Wesley's day as much, but holiness and sanctification, because unless you're living a holy and sanctified life, God will not pour out his spirit into your vessel. But when the teaching went forth and the people began to live holy and sanctified and set aside for service, God began to do the works of Christ to a degree like when Wesley was riding the circuit and his horse fell and broke a leg. Wesley laid his hands on the horse and got back on and continued his journey. You will find as you read about Wesley's ministry, he didn't start off like Brother Branham with that gift. He wasn't there because God wasn't there as he is today. But Wesley grew and grew and grew in the grace of God, and you talk about healing. Now, most of Wesley's, and I've got a link here for you. Anybody wants to have it, or I've got a PDF on my computer, I can send it to you. It has all the miracles in Wesley's, or not all, but has a compilation of, there's probably 250 different miracles in Wesley's ministry. Most of them were dealing with demoniacs, people that were possessed. Like one little girl, she was 10 years old, and she'd go into this, she would get taken over by a demon. And even in talking to her father, and, you know, the voice, just a deep voice would say, you know, she's not your daughter anymore. She belongs to me. And go into uncontrollable fits, and then all of a sudden just stop and lay frozen dead. Then an hour later, get up, start throwing things, just in and out, in and out, in and out. And she'd be crying out to God all the time. God, save me. God, he's coming again. He's coming. And these were some of the things he dealt with. Demoniacs. Just like Jesus had to do in his day. Now back to paragraph 40, Brother Brown said, the world's getting more wicked all the time. We know that. Why men do things today that 100 years ago, you wouldn't have thought that there'd be a human being that cruel. More wicked all the time. Wicked all the time, and the wicked shall do wickeder all the time, said the scripture more and more. So the Holy Spirit has been moving. There was just a little breath of it in Luther. A little blow of it in Wesley. In other words, from a breath to a blow shows more intensity. And that's what he's telling us here. And a deeper blow of it in Pentecost. So the Spirit began to move, and when it began to move, you just feel that little slight breeze. Then you feel a wind, and then you feel a torrent. That's what he's saying. The intensity of the world and the intensity of the Spirit. More and more and more. Until this day, he said, when the devil shall come in like a flood, he'd raise up a standard. Again, Brother Bram is showing an increase in intensity of the works of Christ. And if we had time, we would show you the examples of this intensity from Luther to Wesley, and then from Wesley to Pentecost, 1906, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For instance, in the days of Wesley, most people are not aware that great supernatural occurrences took place. And actually, I've got the link here. You can see it, and you can click on it. Most of the supernatural cases John Wesley dealt with had to do with healing of people possessed by demons. I have a PDF that I'll send out to you, etc. There's over 250 pages of this historical accounts. Now that was under sanctification, and then under the baptism of the Holy Spirit from 1906 until the message went forth, we had men like Sankey and Moody and Finney and Knox and Price, and there's some I know that I've left out, Brother Bosworth. There were many, many whose ministries manifested to the world the supernatural characteristics of the supernatural God, mostly in healing. And actually there was a woman, Amy Semple McPherson, had many miracles, and Brother Ram talked about it. Now, she wasn't called to preach, but a woman can lay her hands on the sick just as much as a man can. A child can lay their hands on the sick. I've had witness in my own family. When Christina was 3.5 years old and Elizabeth 4.5, I was going up to Brother Vales at the time. He was sick, and he was down in Tucson recovering. And I think you all know the story. And Elizabeth, just 4.5 years old, she laid her hands on her sister, and she came downstairs. She said, she's healed. She had 103 temperature. We went upstairs, took her temperature, and she was better. I said, how'd you know she was healed? Because I prayed. Because I prayed. If God tells us to pray and we do it, what he says, then isn't God obligated to do what he said? We need childlike faith, brother, sister. We're so convoluted in our thinking, you know. Well, this circumstance, and you know, if this happens, this happens, and I don't know if this doesn't happen. I mean, if this happens, maybe it'll happen. No, God said it. That's all you need to know. God said it. Just like a child. Then God sent forth William Branham with a healing campaign that none of history, in the entire history of the world, could ever come close to. It was prophesied in the book of Malachi, and it came forth. Over 30,000 people were healed in Durban, South Africa. Talked to some brothers the other day had been down there. And in fact, I'm scheduled to go sometime this year, maybe, Lord willing, put it off till December. Maybe we'll be home before then. I don't know. But I'll be going to Durban, South Africa in December, Lord willing. And Brother Branham, he was getting tired toward the end of his campaign there. He'd been praying for the sick all day long. At the end, he just took his hand and he waved like this over the crowd. People were healed that instant as far as 5 miles away that were on their way to the meetings and were stuck in traffic. They brought 30 truckloads full of wheelchairs and crutches and everything else. From the wave, the Holy Spirit went out and healed. In Malachi 4, verse 1 says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Right Wiseness arise with healing in his wings." In other words, Brother Branham called it healing campaigns. "And they shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Now back to 41, where Brother Branham continues by bringing it down to this hour that we're living in. And he says, now. He was talking about a breath, then a blow, then a deep blow. He says, "And now the breath and the spirit has become the same." In other words, the move of God and the Spirit of God is one and the same. She's uniting together, bringing forth that same powerful blow of the Holy Ghost like he had back there. In manifesting the same works that he did back there is being manifest right today, the same thing. Watch what Jesus said. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing except he sees the Father doing it first. What the Father does, he shows the Son. The Father dwelleth in me, he doeth the work." See? Now notice that Brother Branham brings it all down to this hour where it no longer is a breath of the Spirit or a blowing of the Spirit showing an increased intensity, but now he is saying, now the breath and the Spirit has become the same. She's uniting together, bringing forth that same powerful blow of the Holy Ghost like he did back there. Jesus did. And didn't Jesus say, "The works that I do shall you do also"? Is manifesting the same works that he did back there and is being manifested right today, the same thing. And we see that Alpha has become Omega. What Jesus' ministry was in his day, it was repeating in our day. That same powerful blow of the Holy Ghost like he had back there is manifesting the same thing that he did back there is being manifested right today, the same thing. Now notice Brother Branham is not speaking to you and I at this point. He's speaking of what God was doing in his own ministry. We saw John 14, 12 a little, he said, in Luther, John 14, 12, a little bit in Wesley, and then it grew. And by the same time it got to the restoration of the gifts, we begin to see a universal expression of the Holy Ghost restoring John 14 and 12 into the church until his own ministry, we saw the greater works. Whereas you might have gone to a meeting in Brother Bosworth. We know Brother Bosworth's ministry, actually in 1947, he retired. The year Brother Branham's ministry came on the scene. Brother Bosworth had 225,000 letters acknowledging that those people had been healed in his campaign. 225,000. I think any minister in this message today would give their right arm to have 5,000. 500. Anybody give me 50? How about 5? You understand what I'm talking about? There's so much unbelief in this message, it isn't even funny. And this is the bride that's supposed to be the super race, the super people. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Because we're not on our knees day and night like they were in the early church. We're not expecting the coming of the Lord. We say we are. But our lives show different. Now some believe that after this move of God with the greater works, that the universal move of the Holy Spirit was all over. And they've begun to look back at what God did do and are missing what God is doing right now. Now notice, Brother Brown continues. Here's another thing that I'd like to say right here. As Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. As the Father, how did the Father send him? The Father that sent him come down from heaven and dwelt in him. He went forth. He said, I always do that which pleases my Father. See, he went about doing the things that the Father was showing him to do. I do nothing except my Father show me first. The God that sent him was on the inside of him. And as the Father sent me, the same way the Father sent me, so send I you. What is it? It's God in you. Carrying on what? The same works. The same. Jesus said, he that believeth, he that has me on the inside of him, the Holy Spirit, he that believeth, that's already witnessed my resurrection, and know that I'm in him, he that's in me, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Brother Branham is letting us know right there that the he and he that believeth on me is anyone that has the Holy Spirit. And you can't say that you're a believer unless you have the Holy Spirit. You're only believing unto. In other words, Brother Branham is telling us plainly that if the Spirit of God is not in you and if the Spirit of God is in you, you will be very aware that his Spirit is in you. And if the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ is in you, then you cannot help but to do the very same things that he did. Notice he keeps talking about the witness of the resurrection in you. Yes. In you. That's what he's talking about. God in you will produce the same works that God did in Jesus, or God is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. We live so far under our privileges. So far under our privileges. Now you say, I abide in Jesus, but I sure don't believe in divine healing. That shows he's not there. I believe in Jesus, but don't believe no Holy Ghost in this last day like they had it back there. That just shows it isn't there. The Holy Spirit will bear record of every word it spoke. Brother Branham saw, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And he latched onto it, and God produced it. And you say, well, okay, he had it, so it's only for him. No, it's for anyone that will latch onto it and believe God. He's not a liar. If I could get one thing across all of you this morning, and that's this. When you don't take God at his word, you're calling him a liar. You're saying, I don't have confidence in God. I don't have confidence in his word. It shows your faith is very, very shallow. I know I'm speaking hard words, but not with hard language. I'm not up here with an intense vitriol. I'm trying to get you to think. Because one of these days, you're going to need it. Didn't Brother Brown say when the squeeze comes down, the third pull will go into effect? Is that what he said? I have a paper here sent to me by a brother from Kenya. The squeeze has begun in Kenya. They're now calling for all churches to be registered. Any missionary that wants to come over and do, he's got to get a work permit. And he's got to have a certified letter from the registered church saying that he's in good standing. The National Council of Churches of Kenya is all for this. It says foreign preachers will be required to have their work permits from the immigration department as well as recommendation letters from their respective diplomatic missions. All religious organizations will be required to furnish the government with details of their leaders, committee members, and registered trustees, including giving copies of the identification cards, certificates of good conduct, personal identification number, PIN, and tax clearance or tax exemption certificates, among other documents. They will be required to reveal all their branches and where exactly they are located. It's coming to America. This is Kenya's home, where he was born. You watch for it to come here. They already have that in Europe. Europe is all organized. You have to meet in a home. Most churches, I don't know of any. I think there's one church in all of England that actually has a building of their own. The rest of them have to meet in homes or some storefront. It's coming here. And Brother Branham said that, he called that the squeeze. When the World Council of Churches brings on the squeeze, he said, you watch the third pole go into effect. How close are we? Brother Branham said, God's not a liar. He's not a liar. He's not afraid of nobody or no organization. He don't have to take down for nobody. He speaks and then he stays with it. If the high and polluted and educated, or as we call it, plutocrats, if they don't want to receive it, God's able of these stones to rise children to Abraham. He'll take gangsters and bootleggers and everything else and rise it up. God can do it, and he is doing it. God's able of these stones to rise children to Abraham. Somebody's going to do it because he is God. Now, he continues by quoting Jesus. If you abide in me and my word is in you. Again, if you abide in me, that means if you've made your home with him and his word is in you, ask what you will. Because you're asking his word and his word is life. Speak it. If God said it, and you're sure that he said it, the Holy Ghost bears record that word's right, then there you are, brother, speak it. There it says, say to this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you've said is going to come to pass. It's not you that speaketh, but the Father that dwelleth in you, he is doing the speaking. He doeth the talking. It's not you talking to that mountain. It's the Father that's in you speaking to that mountain. It has to move. All heavens and earth will pass away, he said, but my spirit shall not, or my word shall not pass away. Certainly, it cannot pass away. Now, the works that I do, God is in his church to continue his works. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost. Now, he knew that. He knew it. It couldn't be done that way, so was it by otherwise. So he had to send, the Father sent the Son, and put all that's in the Son in you. Now, do we believe this or not? Am I just up here wasting my time? Or do you really believe that all that was in Jesus Christ, he said he would place in his church? And the same works that he did, the same works now that Jesus did, you'll do also the church. Wouldn't you like to do the works of God? Jesus said, if you want to do the works of God, believe on me. However, how you believe on him, you can't do it until you got the Holy Ghost. Because no man can say he is the Son of God. You're saying what somebody else said. The Bible said that he's the Son of God. I believe the Bible. All right. The Bible says he's the Son of God. I believe the Bible. The pastor said he's the Son of God. I believe the pastor. Mama says he's the Son of God. I believe Mama. My friend says he's the Son of God. I believe my friend. But the only way that I can say that he's the Son of God is when the Holy Ghost comes in and bears record of itself. Then I know he's the Son of God. No man can call Jesus Christ only by the Holy Ghost. There. No man speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus Christ accursed or say that he was something that day or something else today. Huh? That makes him weak and faltry. No, sir. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Any true spirit will bear record of that. All right. Now, he said, these works that I do shall you also, John 14:12. Now, the same works, Oh, they say the church does a greater work today. In what manner? He said, well, the works that I do. And they say, well, we got missionaries all over the world. That's a greater work. But he said, the works that I do. Now, do them first, then talk about missionaries. Today, speaking here some time ago about a Mohammedan, he said, Mohammed is dead. That's right. He's in the grave. But someday he'll rise. He said, well, if he rises from the grave, the whole world will know it in 24 hours. He said, you people say that Jesus has raised 2,000 years ago, and not one third of the people know it yet. That's because that you spoke from an intellectual view of it. You spoke from a standpoint of school or education. If this whole great church of God, counting Catholic, Protestant altogether, had received the Holy Ghost, this world would be laying solid in Christianity. There wouldn't be such a thing as communism. There wouldn't be such a thing as strife or enmity or meanness or hatred. Jesus would be sitting on his throne. He'd be walking through the paradise of God with eternal life, living forever, already resurrected in a new body, walking around, never to be old, never to be gray, never to be sick, never to be hungry, walking in the joys of the Lord, talking with the animals, and oh, what a day that would be. I'll say this, and that's going to get me in a lot of trouble. If those people who claim to believe that Brother Vail was a teacher from God, really believed he was a teacher from God, this whole world would know it. Now, I've done my part. I've taken it to 56 countries and through the internet, 189 countries. But I get no support from those people who claim Brother Vail was a teacher from God. And God has backed up my ministry with signs and wonders. I would like them to put down on paper their signs and wonders that God backed them up with. I'm not saying this to be fighting. I'm saying this as well. Just as an example, what Brother Branham was saying, if we were truly believed that Jesus is the Christ, it's because we're filled with the Holy Ghost, the whole world would know about it. We wouldn't hold it to ourselves and our little clicking clan, those little 11 or 12 churches that follow Brother Vail's ministry, and they don't want anybody else to know about it. Why would you not want anyone else to know about it? You'd be shouting it from the rooftops. I've contacted brothers overseas that were translating Brother Vail's ministry into their language. And I said, Brother, could you send me the electronic format so that I can put it on the internet so everybody around the whole world that speaks your language would know? And they said, no, I won't do that. And I said, why? And they said, well, because sometimes I made mistakes in translating. I said, well, can't you just read them through? You know, and the person said, when I get up, you know, on my paper, I had this is not, and then, but when I got up, I realized that was wrong. Brother Vail said, this is. Or he said, this is not, and I left out the not. He said, but when I corrected it to my own church when I was reading it, but it would be too much work to save a soul. Too much work to get one of the greatest teaching ministries since the Apostle Paul out. Too much work. Okay. It shows you don't have faith. It shows you don't even believe. It shows you're afraid to be criticized. You're afraid to take a stand. It's like a sister that she'll, when she goes into the public, she'll put on pants to make herself look appropriate and look like she's part of the scene. When she comes to church, she'll wear dresses. Shows you just don't believe. You're afraid to take a stand. Look at those people back there that took a stand and they went out and were fed to the lions in the first church. Fed to the lions. They were not afraid of the gospel of Christ. It was a power of salvation unto them. But where do we stand, brother, sister? Are we that weak? I don't think we're that weak. I think we're not filled with the Spirit like we should. Because if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you don't care what anybody says. You don't care what any other preacher says. You don't even care what your congregation says. You're going to tell them the truth regardless of whether they like it or not. Brother Brown many times has said, I'd rather preach to the four posts of this church than to compromise. Brother Vail said in Brother Brown's own church, he said, I'd rather have four brothers that stood behind me in this word than have 4,000 in the church. Brother Branham said, amen, brother. Yeah. Well, Brother Branham continues, but we've done everything else besides that. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What does the gospel? Not word only, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Making the word of God manifest is the gospel. So if the preacher is up here preaching and it's just a bunch of words and God is not manifesting his word through that preacher, he's not preaching the gospel. He's not a preacher of the gospel. He's the head of a lodge. He's a orator. He's maybe a, I don't know what you call him. But Brother Branham right here says, making the word of God manifest is the gospel. And you can't do it. Now, Jesus knew that he had to live in his church. Therefore, he knowed we'd have intellectual schools, and you'd never get this in an intellectual school. They'll be against it, because all they know is some smart man's learning, some creed or denomination they want to live by. So they'll set you up in that, and make you a member of that body, and brother, and quote some things to you out of a creed that would seem like it was just perfect. The great holy church, the mother, it stood a pound, so has the devil. He's been kicked out of everywhere there is nearly, and he's still going on just the same. Yes, sir. Oh, and they try to quote these. I like that example. He says, look. He said, well, I have taken a stand. I've been kicked out of this church or that church. He said, that's all right. The devil has been too. And he keeps going. Are you going to just fold up? The devil keeps going. Are you just going to fold up? So Jesus knew that there'd be a great intellectual move, just like there was in his days, intellectual, washing of pots and pans, wearing of clothes and turned around collars and everything as they did. All these different things that they would do. He knew they'd do that. So I said, now, just wait a minute. I'm going to not leave you comfortless. I'm coming again to be with you. Therefore, he said, the works that I do, you'll do also. Now, the purpose of sending the Holy Ghost was for God to continue through a bunch of people, not one man, a bunch of people to continually manifest God to the world. That's exactly. Not by a creed, not by a denomination, but by the power of his resurrection, by making his word real, by taking his promise and standing on the side of the minority and believing God and watch the black skies move back and the power of God move in and take over. Amen. That's what he wants. That's what the Holy Ghost was sent for. That's what purpose he sent it for. We know what it is now, and that's why he sent it. And I can say amen to that. And so can brothers all over the world who've seen along with me those black skies move back when the word of the Lord was spoken for them to do so. We saw those big black clouds bring cooling in 1997, Michael. We were standing there and we walked out of the Lowe's. And in Argentina, the same thing in 2012. And those huge black clouds removed in western Uganda in 2006. And I'm a witness of what Brother Branham is talking about here, and so was Elijah, so was Jesus, so was William Branham. Notice he said the purpose of sending the Holy Ghost was for God to continue it through a bunch of people. And a bunch is not one person. A bunch means many people. A bunch of people, plural. To continually manifest God to the world. And continually means it is not supposed to stop. That's exactly. And then Brother Ram says that manifestation of the power of God is not to come by some creed, which is some doctrinal belief. Not by a creed, he says, not by a denomination, but by the power of his resurrection, by making his word real, by taking his promise and standing on the side of the minority and believing God and watch the black skies move back and the power of God move in and take over. Amen. That's what he wants. That's what the Holy Ghost was sent for. That's what purpose he sent it for. We know what it is now, and that's why he sent it. Hallelujah. Oh, Kasurik, you're getting Pentecostal. Well, I hope so. Brother Vail, 3 months before he died, he said, you know, I always thought all these years Brother Brown was a Baptist preaching to Pentecostals. He said, but listening to tape after tape after tape, he said, I realize now Brother Brown was more Pentecostal than those Pentecostals were. Now the people are without excuse because they have all heard a vindicated prophet tell us that it is the very purpose of God sending his Holy Spirit not only among us, but into our very being, and yet they still want to revert back to a message of words only, one void of the power of God. Now, I'm going to read you from Brother Vail himself. Macon, Georgia, 1972. You say, well, that was old Lee Vail. No, that was young Lee Vail. Old Lee Vail didn't preach from 2000 until he left in 2012. Or preached one time, 2008. Now, reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, just one verse at a time, the 15th verse at this time, for you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the first message on this point, which was last night, we showed from the prophet's teaching that there would be a great word-identified bride who would be able to manifest the very life of Christ at the end time. Quoting Brother Branham, there'll be a power come into the church, and now is coming in, that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people, plural, so that they'll, plural, speak the word, and it, the word, will create itself like that or identical to what was spoken. Brother Branham quoting Brother Vail quoting Brother Branham here. You see, when God said, let there be light, suddenly something didn't say, I think I'll have a little fun, let there be dark. No. Light, see? Therefore, the word which will be in the bride will be a literal manifestation into creation of that same word by the same spirit that lies in the word. There will be literal creation. Now, that's what the prophet said. Do you agree with what he said? All right, fine. We believe it. Do you believe it? I do. I've been preaching it. Been mocked for it. I believe it. I've seen it. Now notice the language. Let me just say this. I'm going to put this on. I've seen it, brothers, sisters. Saturday, November 22nd, 2014. Email from Brother Brian Miller. Brother Brian. Gene had an eye examination yesterday and they found a small hole in the macula of her right eye. She's been referred to for a hospital appointment. Please pray that it heals over without the need of surgery. The surgery after care involves being face down for long periods, and because of other physical problems, she could not handle that. Brother Brian Miller. November 22nd, 7:48 a.m. His was 6:28. I wrote back and said, Brother Brian, I have asked my father to heal her eye even before they touch her eye in surgery. We'll continue to thank him for this. Brother Brian. At 10:48, 3 hours later, Gene wants me to let you know that she feels better now and more at peace. Thanks and God bless. January 27th, just this past week, 10:57 a.m. Hi, Brother Brian. We're thanking the Lord today for the healing of Sister Jean's eye. When the doctor examined Gene's eye at the hospital, he could find no hole in the macula first discovered when she had a test a few months ago. He said her eyes were in better condition than his own. Thank you for your prayers and your wonderful fellowship in the Lord. About a month ago, a little over a month ago, I received a text from Brother Ron Har. He said, Brother Simon Shavika was on his way to preach in Brazil. He said he had an extremely bad headache. He said, would you pray for him? I said, Brother, we'll pray. And I prayed. And I said, it's finished. Giving back Jesus' words. I said, ask him what time he was healed. He contacted him back. He said, what? And I said, ask him if he was healed. I said, right now the time is 9:05. He contacted the brother, called him up. The brother said, miraculously, God healed him. At nine. And he said, what time did God heal you? He said, 9:05. Brother, if you believe God, he's more than able to step into those words and make it happen. Time and time again, we have seen God heal people. We've seen God do supernatural things with the weather. And he does because we believe him. That's it. It doesn't make us great people. It just makes us simple. So simple that we can believe that what God said, it'll happen. It'll come to pass. Brother Brown continues. Now notice the language of the prophet. He said, now, N-O-W. At this moment, it is coming into the church. That means only one thing. The potential is already in the bride of this hour, and it, the potential, will produce the manifestation in her of creation by spoken word. God is going to refill the bride with the Spirit. Then seeing what happens, Brother Branham said, we've got a ministry coming that's just that just excites exactly like the life of Christ. Now, that's what he told us, and that's what we believe. That's what we believe. Who's we? He and Brother Branham. What do you believe? Now, this word excites that Brother Vale used, it means to increase the activity of. So I say that just exactly increases the activity of exactly like the life of Christ. Now, he continues, he says, I was preaching one time in Chicago a couple years ago, when Dr. Hoyer, who in my estimation is the greatest authority in the Hebrew and Greek living today, because he can speak it with the exact emphasis, the exact facial expression, and the exact demonstration by the hand, and he's a very brilliant scholar. At the end of the service, he said, Brother Vale, I trust that you will not think of me to be a fanatic, but I would like to say something, and he sounded so apologetic, I wondered what in the world he was going to say. He said, please, please, please do not take this bad. He said, but, and I said, well, what is it, Brother Hoyer? And he said, Brother Vale, from a study of the Word of God, I believe that the bride will have the creative word within her before she goes in that rapture. Before she goes in that rapture. And I said, Brother, that's exactly what a vindicated prophet said by Thus Saith the Lord. Now, this is Brother Vale quoting Thus Saith the Lord to the greatest Greek authority in the nation. Here is a brilliant theologian who knows exactly the hour of the day. If you heard him and you could meet him and talk with him, you would know that this is the giant intellect anointed by the Holy Ghost who has studied the Word of God until that's all he knows and all he's lived. You mention a scripture and he will quote you the Hebrew or the Greek, and then he'll raise his eyebrows, his face will change, an expression will come upon him, and there he will literally begin to preach in that language and tell you everything that it means. And he said, Brother Vale, I know that this is coming. So we see according to the word of God given to us by a vindicated prophet that the creative word will be in the very bride at the end time. Now this great capstone ministry of the bride is called the manifestation of the sons of God or the adoption or placing of the sons. And to me, and I emphasize to me, it is also the manifestation of what Brother Branham called the third pole in the bride. Now, up until 1963, Brother Branham talked much of this manifestation, but after 62 and 63, he spoke of the pole, of the various poles, and he said that there would be a third pole in the bride which would come into manifestation. Now, why did Brother Branham change the terminology from manifested sons to third pole? Because God gave him a vision of three poles. So he referred to the vision. Now, we have no details concerning it, but remember, it will be the creative word within the bride. Now, let us just think of the potential or the prime cause of this great manifestation. It is already in the bride, but it is evidently subdued. Now, it's in there, but subdued. See? But letting that power lie dormant, see, does not annul that the power is there. So it is this, it is that lack of a manifestation, it is that the lack of manifestation does not annul the power. The power is there, but the manifestation is not there because it is not yet time for it. Now, this is what you must understand. See, the bride is not without the prime cause or the cause to bring about the effect. It is just that God is not ready to produce the effect. See now, it is not time to show it forth. Now, notice our text, the 15th verse. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have already received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Our Father. We already have the spirit of adoption. The first age, the second age, the third age, the fourth age, the fifth age, and the sixth age. Every member in the body of Christ has already, whether they've gone to the dust or not, they have already received the potential, but not the manifestation. Now, verse 19-23. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the unveiling of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because creation shall also itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory. The liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which already have the first fruits of the Spirit, which will make us like unto Christ, even to the very members in which it says we are groaning. Even we groan within ourselves. We are waiting for the adoption. Even though you got the very spirit of it, tell you what, haven't I got it all? Don't I possess it all? My brother and sister, you and I may possess everything that God is in potential, but into manifestation we do not yet possess it. See, I'm sorry for those who believe and have said, listen, I'll take this whole Bible and this whole Bible is mine. You are wrong. Only the part of the word what's in here is yours if it's yours for your day. Brother Branham puts it just so beautifully. He said Moses could not come preaching Noah's message. He couldn't do it. And Christ could not come preaching Moses' message. The law was until John. But see now, we look forward to grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And the word for this day is the revelation. This is Brother Valen reading here. I got mocked terribly by brothers for preaching this. Let me read it again. And the word for this day is the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, if we are not aware of the hour in which we live, then we cannot say we got the Holy Ghost. If you're not aware that the revelation for this day is a manifestation of the sons of God, he says, you don't have the Holy Ghost. God sent a prophet. Hallelujah. God sent a prophet. You don't have the Holy Ghost. If we are not aware of the hour in which we live, then we cannot say we got the Holy Ghost, because he is given to teach us those things which have been given us of God. Oh, how blind the church is today that calls itself filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother Vail then talks about Billy Graham's statement, if the Holy Ghost were here, if the Holy Ghost were gone, 90% of the activities would still go on in the church. And then he says, and now we are waiting for the adoption. And this tells us when it will take place. It takes place in resurrection season. Now, what is the resurrection season? It takes place here, over here in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul says in the 15th verse, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So layer by layer, doesn't it sound like wind, breath, blow? So layer by layer in the seven church ages, the church is coming up to the capstone itself until it fits so perfectly in the last age. The seventh is literally identified with Christ himself. Now, as bride accompanied, Paul saw this as many members. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are coming up unto the very word itself. Then, brothers and sisters, can't you see, if we are coming up into the very word itself, then creation must lie in the bride. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A breath, a blow, a deeper blow, like Brother Ram saying. Brother Vail saying, layer upon layer upon layer. And the Apostle Paul says, maketh every increase of the body itself. The church building up. The life moving on. The church building up. The church itself did not have the Holy Spirit, which would bring them into the manifestation, because the age was not yet. As God was bringing that word up, line by line, building up his church all the way to the top, the life was moving on, the church building up. Now listen, brothers and sisters, this, what Brother Vail is saying here, is exactly what we were reading from Brother Branham this morning. He called it breath and blow and deep blowing. But it speaks the same thing as Brother Vail is teaching here, and that God is bringing up each age by the word, building up word upon word until the end time, when the bride will not only have the potential, but she will have the manifestation of the word. Now back to Brother Vail. He said, now, here is what I'm trying to show you. This is a mortal church we're talking about. Then this makes me understand that the manifestation of the sons of God will come before the resurrection. We are not dealing with a church that has gone on, but a church that is coming up. This is the same age, as Brother Branham said, the age of adoption is the age of restoration. Now, let me just insert a quote from Brother Branham concerning this. From the fourth seal, Brother Branham said, wait till the seven thunders utter their voices to that group who really can take the word of God and hand it there. It'll slice and cut, and they can close the heavens. They can shut this or do that, whatever they want to, glory. He will be slayed by the word that proceeds from his mouth. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. They could call for 100 billion tons of flies if they wanted to. Amen. Whatever they says going to happen, because it's the word of God coming from the mouth of God. Amen. God always, it's his word, but he always uses man to work it. God could call for them flies down in Egypt, but he said, Moses, that's your job. I'll just tell you what to do, and you go do it. He fully done that. See? He could have chosen the sun to call them. He could have have the moon to call, or the wind to call it. But he said, Moses, he chooses men. All right. Now listen. He said, wait till them seven thunders utter their voice so that that group who really can take the word of God and hand it there and slice and cut, and they can close the heavens. I've seen it happen. I've seen at least 3, maybe 4 times in my ministry where God has completely brought on megatons of energy to change the weather, drop the temperature by 30 degrees in minutes. Just come down, just... I've seen big storms that were raging. And at the word of prayer, God stopped those storms, just like he did with the prophet, just like he did with his son Jesus. Why? Because I'm just a son. I've got an older brother, William Branham. I've got an oldest brother, Jesus. And if God tells them what to do and they do it, and he spoke to my heart and told me what to do and I did it, and then it happened, I know it was God that did it. It's happening, brothers. It's already begun. From God hiding himself in simplicity, he said, Lord Jesus, in the way of humility, the way of humbleness, I offer you this congregation that's on their feet. I offer them to you because they have stood in response to the call. They're seeking deeper things. They're seeking more life after hearing that the blood of Jesus so thoroughly cleanses that there's no more nothing, that the complete word of God rests within them, that the very command of their own voice is creative power, because in them is the Holy Ghost. And this Holy Ghost is a creator. He makes things come to pass because he speaks the word, and the word spoken becomes God in action. And Lord, I pray that you'll send the Holy Ghost upon every one of them just now and deliver unto them, Lord, in the power of the resurrection of Christ, the things that they are desiring in their heart, a better life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may it be so that this audience will be illuminated, the hearts of the people will see the vision and be fulfilled with the power of God. I commend them to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. What a prayer. What a prayer. From Patmos Vision, he said, amen. Cut every obstacle from human beings that they might be connected like in the Garden of Eden. No man. I was going to choke it, but I'm going to say it. Man is omnipotent. You don't believe that, but he is. A man that's fully surrendered to God is omnipotent. Did not Jesus say in Mark 11:22, whatsoever things you say and don't doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass? You can have what you said. What happens when two omnipotents meet? When God and man comes together through omnipotence, something's got to shake. Whatsoever you say with that creative power of omnipotence of God, knowing that he promised it, and he said it in his word, it creates a power that goes out yonder and brings things to pass. Things that is not, it makes them as though they are, because two omnipotents have met. There he stands. Oh, isn't he wonderful? And from the fourth seal, he said, that's the way the blood of Jesus Christ does. Then that sets a man across the chasm, again, as a son of God, see? And then he becomes, why he's even, the creative power of God is in him. And at least whenever God can command it to be done, it'll be done, and we get back. Now, didn't Brother Branham call us little creators? Little messiahs, little creators? You know, you've seen people create an atmosphere. And what do atmospheres do? Things grow in atmospheres. If you create an atmosphere of gossip, and every time you come, somebody knows, well, there's comes Brother So-and-so, he's going to gossip. What happens? If you let that atmosphere remain, you begin to gossip right with that person that gossips. It creates an atmosphere. It produces works. Gossip. How about if the spirit of holiness and sanctification, the spirit of reverence and awe of God comes into your midst? It'll produce a life that's impeccable. A life that when people look at you, they say, I know that one thing for certain. That person is a Christian. They saw Peter and John walking down the street and they saw things happening. They said, we know one thing for certain. They were with Christ. And from Gotell. And now, Lord, I pray that you'll confirm this little broken up message to every heart. Let them not miss it. Let them see that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you are here, raised from the dead, and will be until the spirit and the body unites together again at the second coming. I pray for the sick that's here, Father, this morning. I have now on this Easter morning laid aside, or not laid aside, but just laid by for a moment's time a gift that thou hast given me, such as discernment, that the world. I've been back and forth across the nation, Lord. They all know it. Now, I pray that the message that you gave me up here in the woods that few days ago, that on the creative power which sets in the church this morning, the very people it was created on. We saw in a minute scale, fish giving us life back, five people raised from the dead, squirrels created, then eaten. That's nothing to what's coming, brother, sister. We have the whole world is coming to a collision. We have things prophesied in the scriptures about people and the skin being eaten right off of their flesh. And it's promised not to touch any of them that have the Holy Ghost. You have been inoculated to things that are coming on this earth. You're tucked in Goshen, and all the plagues will not come nigh thee. The very power of God has built a hedge around you. We should be thankful for that. Because the worlds are coming to a conclusion. The Bible says this, the islands shall flee away. The mountains shall melt like wax. This earth is it's already began. This morning I noticed that the sun was raising up from the south down here, southeast. Not from the east over here like it normally does. In January of 2011, they said that the magnetic pole already shifted over 1,500 kilometers. It used to be straight over Canada. Now it's over Siberia. They said it's going to be over Asia. They said when this thing finishes, the magnetic north pole will be in Brazil. And the world will, once all that magma flips, then the earth will flip. It's God's clock. It's happening. When that happens, you talk about tremendous, tremendous tidal waves and everything else. We've got quotes from the prophet. We've put out the studies. Brother Brown said the waves will come up to Tucson. That's 2,368 miles above sea level. Phoenix will be underwater. Be no more. West Coast be no more. East Coast be no more. Florida be no more. And we will see it. We will see it. Because Brother Brown said California would go before the coming of the Lord. Now, it may be the time that the great resurrection takes place. I don't know. I do know this. In the Alpha, there's a great resurrection. There's a great earthquake and then the resurrection. We are at the precipice of the coming of the Lord. God is just waiting. And Brother Branham, we read it to you last week. He said he's only waiting for his bride to get ready. Can we quit fussing and fighting what God wants and yield to him and be a prepared people for the Lord? Because he said he'd make ready a prepared people. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your creative power, because it's not us anyway. You see, we, Father, recognize that we are two-thirds supernatural beings. We have a soul, we have a spirit. Those are supernatural. They're not natural. And we have this flesh to deal with. This flesh seems to control the other two, but it shouldn't be that way. Our soul should be controlling our spirit, and our spirit controlling this flesh. That's the way you meant it to be. And we know that that can only happen if your spirit is in us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So Father, help us to die to self daily. Help us to continue. And Father, we pray that as sons of God, we would be a light to this world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Help us, O God, to be ready for the soon going home of the Gentile bride. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and make the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee.